What is this pounding over my head? It's the news, according to me. Well, surprise, surprise. I have a show this morning. It is Thursday morning, May 25th, 7:31 a.m. And here I am. Here I am in the a.m. I am here. I am a.m. here. I am here. I am here. So here I am. With no, I have no cup. There's this little issue with something going on at the house here this morning. I can't be in the kitchen right now. Never know when I can be in the kitchen. And apparently, I usually try to stay in bed until I can. I think it's safe to go in the kitchen. And now it's not safe to go to the kitchen. So I came down here to do my show. So here I am. It's a home studio. Why am I home today? I didn't think I'd be gonna. Now I didn't have a show yesterday, obviously, because for those of you who tuned in and listen and didn't, there was nothing. But that's all you heard. This morning I actually have an assignment later in the day, and so which allowed me to free up my morning. Now this looks like it will also free up tomorrow morning for me at this point. As I'm looking at my schedule right now, let's just take another look at this and make sure I've got my bearings properly aligned. Yeah, it looks like that's not what I wanted to do there. Let's just take a look at this real quick. Yes, tomorrow morning, very good possibility that, it definitely, I'll have a show. I don't know if it'll be a live show or not. It kind of depends on what's going on with the background noise. I'm going to be in a hotel tomorrow morning, because tonight I'm going to actually be in Rochester, Minnesota, up there near Mayo Clinic. I'm going to be up there, not because of anything for me physically, but just, I'm just going to be up there. Just gonna be up there. That's all you need to know. But I'll be leaving out of there. I'll end up in Chicago kind of late tomorrow night. So I'm not sure exactly what my Saturday is going to look like. Obviously, you don't care about that because I don't have a show on Saturday. But my Friday definitely tomorrow morning we'll definitely have time for a show. So whether it's recorded or live, I don't know yet. I'm going to have all my stuff with me, so I may be able to go live. It all depends on my internet connection when I get up there. So that's what's on. More importantly, what matters is what's going to be in my cup. I might take some chai along with me just because I've got enough time to do that. So see how that all works out for me tomorrow morning. Today's going to be a little bit of a raucous day because I've just got, once I get this show done, I've got a lot of things to get accomplished before I take off. And then I've got a bunch of things to do next week. It's going to have me out of pocket as well. So it'll be an interesting week next week. I've got to move my boat, which is a big deal. It takes about a day to do that. I think I've got it all ready to go. But we got things like that. In the meantime, I have no cup this morning. I have no cup because I came down here. I couldn't go in the kitchen to make my cup. I couldn't put anything in my cup. I had a cup of water, but that had some dog hair in it. I didn't really want to. Pretty much everything in my life either has cat hair or dog hair involved. You find a dog hair or cat hair somewhere, and after a while, you just start, there's a cat hair in my food. That tasted good. You just stop picking them out. It's just give up on that. So anyway, this morning, major announcement yesterday morning, which. Some people are saying, "Oh, it was a disaster." Some people are saying, "Oh, it was terrible. This was blah 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 blah." Well, that's sometimes things like that are. It may get more press just because it was a disaster. The fact that so Ron DeSantis announced his run for president. Oh, big shocker there! Oh, big surprise! Oh, gee, wow, that was a big surprise. This is a guy who wrote a book, went on a tour, went to Iowa, went to all these other states with his little book tour. This is the way it's always launched. He's following a direct path of basically the establishment, which kind of makes me wonder what kind of team this guy has around him. I don't think that Ron DeSantis. I think that he basically has. Unfortunately, he just doesn't have the depth that he needs. Now, maybe that will change over the next 6 months. I don't know. Maybe by the primary time, maybe things will be different. At the moment, this guy is not ready. As Gorka said just recently in an interview, he's not ready for prime time. He is not. Maybe after 4 years of seasoning, another 4 years, being a governor for another term, he might have the seasoned ability. A couple of things that have been spoken about the guy is that he doesn't have the voice. He is able to, on his toes, he can respond to reporters, and he's very good on his feet with that. And he can spar with the best of them and come out on top. He's very good at communication in that respect. He's not good at communication. He's, in fact, far better, in my opinion, than Trump is in his ability to hit back at people on the spot. Now, Trump isn't afraid of anybody. He's got the courage. It's just his the way he speaks, the way he uses phrases, and it puts words together. I don't think he comes across quite as articulate in his ability to speak and communicate. DeSantis has a little edge on him, I think, in that respect. He can hit back with a little bit more clarity, a little bit more plain spoken, I guess I would say, not the New York kind of speak that Trump has. And this, but the problem is that his voice, this his voice itself. I have no problems with his. I don't think he's lying when he speaks. It's the tone of his voice. It's the texture of his voice, more or less. It's just kind of annoying. It's not a good or bad thing. It's just not aesthetically pleasing. It's just not, it doesn't have that easy to listen to kind of voice. And I think that's part of. It's just question. I question his thinking here on why he announced the way he did. Now let's get into that a little bit. He announced on Twitter. Now I guess there's this thing called Twitter Spaces, which I guess now is the new live Twitter thing. I'm not exactly sure what all it involves. I know that Elon Musk has a show on there apparently, and he decided to be on that show. Now it's an audio. It was an audio-only broadcast. And maybe I need to look into that. I don't know. But the only thing that the bad part of it was the setup itself. They were having technical difficulties because they were apparently overrun because they had over a million people or 600,000 people, whatever it was. The servers couldn't handle it, which surprises me for a company like Twitter that they were unable to handle something like that. Now, Elon Musk made a comment during this whole thing. He said, that's actually a good sign. The servers were overwhelmed. Well, that's good. That means we got a lot of people interested in this. Now, what's not good, in my opinion, is that the servers were overwhelmed because now you've got all these technical difficulties you're dealing with and the things are cutting in and out and they're having all kinds of problems. And in the process of that, when you find out the actual numbers, 500,000 people is not that. That's not that much. Now that's way more than Biden ever got for a live broadcast. But it's way less than Trump ever had for a live broadcast like that. So it's one of those weird things where. Yes, it was a disaster, and yet at the same time, people are talking about the disaster. So, is it really a disaster with regard to public exposure? Because it's kind of like watching a train wreck. People can't stop watching it, and people will. There's a whole YouTube channels devoted to fails. Like a certain fail nation or whatever. What are we going to talk about? There's all these things where people do stupid things and they crash. Well, you were unsuccessful in your ability to jump that bike across the river, but everybody's watching it because you were unsuccessful. That becomes part of its charm. Now, I think part of his decision was that he's kind of partner. I think Elon Musk actually kind of supports DeSantis to some degree. And this is why he probably wanted to do this thing with Twitter and the partnership that they have there. So I'm not sure exactly, what all the shakedown will be from this. I don't think it's going to be all totally negative. No, Trump was already dancing on the flop that it was, the supposed flop that it was. I think that's a little rude. Now Trump, nobody's talking about is the fact that Trump has called this a long time out. Trump has been going running against this guy, knowing that he saw it coming. They've already had ads out about this guy, attack ads on this guy from certain PACs and certain organizations. And this has been going on for months. And some people have argued, well, he's not even announced that he's running yet. Well, apparently, Trump knew better. Now, I don't know what the end game is here for DeSantis. I don't see how this helps him, actually. I don't think he can beat Trump. I really don't. Unless something bad happens to Trump in between now. Maybe he's counting on him getting indicted and going to prison, which is where they're railroading this guy. They are trying to run Trump into the jail cell. They are not going to be happy until he has cuffs on and he's perp walked to a prison cell and slamming the door shut. That is their goal. They're talking about his business deals, falsifying records, all this stuff they're going after him on. Have they even allowed anyone to look into Joe Biden's life and family and business deals? What kind of business does Joe Biden run? What kind of business does Hunter Biden have? Well, he's a counsel. He's a counsel. He gives counsel. He's a advisor. Advisory services. Yeah. What kind of business does Joe Biden's grandson have? It's just, there's so much dirt here that will never be looked at by this current administrator, by this current AG. And of course, now the next AG that comes in there is going to be picked by the establishment, in my opinion. They're going to parade four or five guys in front of, if Trump gets elected again, they're going to parade about four or five guys in front of him. And the establishment's going to have, these are our picks. These are your choices. These are the people who are qualified. He's going to pick one of them, and it's going to be an establishment person. They're going to say, oh, we don't want to go after our political opponents. We're not going to go after Hillary Clinton, or we're not going to go after Joe Biden. We're not going to launch any kind of investigations into this kind of stuff. That would just be rude. They did it to Trump. And Bill Barr sitting back thinking that's okay. He's not really come out. Oh, he'll come out and say something. Oh, this is a political hack job. Okay. What are you going to do about it, Bill? Nothing. He's not going to do anything about it. Secretly inside, I'm pretty sure he's pretty happy about it. He's not that concerned about it because he doesn't like Trump. He's just, the guy deserves what he gets kind of thing. That's where he's at with it. And it's just, he's not going to lift a hand to help the guy. DeSantis has not come out in a strong condemnation about what's going on with Trump. With these bogus charges. I believe, here's how this stuff usually shakes out, and I think this will end up happening here at some point. This prosecutor, Bragg, if he's the state attorney general, whatever he is, or city attorney, whatever he is, this attorney that's going after him, Esquire, whatever, in my opinion, this is how it usually goes down. This is how it usually ends up happening. He's going to be caught in some kind of scandal. And, of course, that's typically the way it goes down. There's going to be some kind of scandal that this guy's caught in. And he'll probably end up going to jail. It's just, you never know with this kind of stuff. But I wouldn't be surprised if this is what happens, because this is like Avenatti. was going after Trump. And they were, this guy should be president. Oh, everybody on MSNBC and CNN, Stouter, and all those guys were all, this guy needs to be the next president. They were swooning over this guy. Ends up in jail. There's a long list of people like this that have done this kind of stuff. Now, because they can't handle the kind of notoriety and all this, they think that they're all of a sudden they're above the law and they're the top dog and they're the hero because they brought down Trump or whatever it is that they're doing. So we have this stuff going on, and with DeSantis, one of the things that I think people have brought up, and this is the big concern I have. Trump, I think, has had 4 years or 3 years to put together, to kind of contemplate what happened there. He understands the workings of the FBI. He understands how this stuff happens. He's been on the inside of all this already. He has a game plan. He probably has something up his sleeve. He knows how to fix this crap. With the FBI, with other intelligence agencies, with a lot of what the political system has going on. Now, that is threatening, very threatening to the deep state. So what does someone do when they're threatened? Well, they retaliate. I'm concerned for Trump in his life. If he escapes these charges, if he gets by these charges, and things work out that he's able to continue on and right in the middle. Now, next year, they're slating most of these trials for next year, March, middle of March or end of March of next year, after the primary. Now, I guarantee you, if he doesn't win the primary, they're still going to go after him probably. They're probably still going to go after him. But it won't be near as big of a deal. If he's in the middle, if he wins the primary and he's the nominee on the Republican side, guess what? They're going to go after him with a vengeance more than they are now. Now, at the same time, I have to be very clear here. Some people think that, well, DeSantis, you know, he doesn't have that kind of baggage. Oh, I guarantee you, the media, they already have, and I've said this before, they will go after him far worse and more than they ever did Trump. He will be a bigger racist, a bigger homophobe, a bigger misogynist than Trump ever was. I guarantee you. You will see accusations coming out of the woodwork, people coming out that he's never met, or people that he met in college, or whatever it was that happened. Nobody is squeaky clean, and at the same time, they don't care whether you're squeaky clean or not. They will come up with something. Somebody will have some story about something that happened back in 1982. They don't remember the exact, sometime between 82 and 86. And they don't know where it happened, but they don't know when it happened, but they know what happened. And he was a part of a gang rape or something. These people are incredulous in that respect. They have no, the end justifies the means. That's their only principle. They don't care. Mr. Reagan, the channel, Mr. Reagan, Sean, he put together this video. It's pretty good. And you can listen to it, and just the audio itself is enough. I think it's about 20 minutes. Let me see if I can take a look at this and see if I can find it here real quick. He just put it out this morning. Where is it at here? Anyway, there's so much stuff that's been piled out on top of it already. I don't see it here. Nope, it's not there. Maybe it is here because that's not that long ago. I must have just skipped over it. It's a video called "Why You Should Never Vote Democrat" or something to that effect. Let's see if it's on here. Here it is. "Why You Should Never Vote Democrat" by Mr. Reagan. I don't know how long the video is. This is Moreno. whatever her name is. This is, she's just, some of these people are just brainless. I don't have any other way to describe it. It's just, they're just brainless. Yeah, this thing is about 33 minutes long. And it's 33 minutes of people, the Democrats, just going on and on with all kinds of stupid rhetoric. Hillary Clinton making stupid statements. Everybody from Adam Schiff to just everybody making these stupid Democrat statements. Democrats making stupid statements, and it just goes on and on and on. And it's some of them are, they incite violence. Some of them, they, you know, we're coming for you, Gorsuch. You say anyone get out, you start it, you form a crowd. You just some of the stupid things that people have said, that the mean and despicable things that they've said. And it's 33 minutes of this. It's worth watching. And I probably will start playing some clips of this as, because I've downloaded it. I'm going to save some clips. This is going to be golden for me for show prep, for things to put on my little pad here to push buttons and make them remind us of what they've said about things. The one I can't stand is the one with, what's her name? That's Maxwell or whatever her name is. She just going on about how you should get out and, you know, if you see any of these people in the gas station, you form a crowd and you let them know they're not welcome anywhere. It's like, how do you make a statement like that as a representative? And some of the interviews that Nancy Pelosi, some of the things that Nancy Pelosi had said and some of the things she had done. And it's just, these people are despicable. They just have no. And I don't mean politicians in general are, but it's anybody in the establishment, anybody, they're just better at doing it and making it look more presentable on the right. And you got the few people who are really willing to go after the truth. The problem is they're toothless, because there's nothing there that they can do to enforce anything or create any kind of accountability for anything. And that's really what the bottom line. We don't have an accountability. That's what we need to pray for. We need to pray that somehow, somebody, somewhere is able to form something that creates some kind of accountability for the sake of the nation, but for the sake of these people themselves. They keep going down this road and they keep getting away with it. And unfortunately, they're just going down a slippery slope to hell, in my opinion. Something needs to wake them up and get, you know, change, cause their hearts to change. I don't know what that's going to take. Only God knows that. But it's going to take something to get this stuff, you know, back on a right track. But back to this whole DeSantis thing. He's done a lot. He's done policy-wise. I think he's done a good job in Florida. There's been a few things that just nitpicky things. I think in general he's done a very good job with regard to policy. Now, that being said, you're taking, you know, a small bite by being the governor in Florida, and it's a big job, don't get me wrong. But when you step into a presidential realm that where the deep state now has had 4 years to reconvene, to polish their ability to weasel around things and subvert the rule of law, their ability to spy on things and be more secretive now about things. And they know what they can get away with and what they can't get away with now because of this whole thing. They're going to be much more efficient in what they do. And you better believe that DeSantis will have no traction in that area. And this is the area where I think Trump will excel, is because he will be able to expel and clean house in a way that DeSantis could never do that. He probably has a plan to put things in place, people and policies in place that will change the shape of what has happened in the deep state. Now, let me just say this. That could be a bad thing. Sometimes when we change things, look at the Patriot Act. Oh, well, we got attacked on 9/11. We need to put the Patriot Act into place. Of course, they always call it the Patriot Act because, you know, it's anything but the Patriot Act. And now the Patriot Act is being used, and other things that were put in place after 9/11 are being used against the American people to spy on us, to crack down on us, to crack down on a former sitting president. So we have to be very careful when we make these kinds of changes sometimes. And yes, it could become something where it's setting up something for an authoritarian dictatorship. The technology that Elon Musk is developing and the things he's doing with Skynet and all that kind of stuff and all the satellite stuff, I guarantee you at some point, that technology will be used by the enemy. It's everything is developing towards the whole apocalyptic vision of what the end times that was spoken of in Revelation and Daniel and everything else. It's the technology's there now for the whole world to be involved in the end times stuff, and it's becoming very obvious. You know, it's as technology increases, it increases at an exponential rate. There's this theory. One theory. There's even a name for it. It's the Ronder theory. Whatever it is, where even though technology is increasing to a certain degree, for every 10% of increase in technology, it increases in the rate of increase in technology also increases. It's like this curve that goes up. They claim that there's this theory that it can only reach a certain level where it will saturate, and the rate of increase in technology will diminish. And they think that we're possibly really close to that pinnacle edge right now. We're just getting close to the pinnacle where the rate of increase will slow down. Now, it will still keep increasing, but it's just the rate of the increase will slow down at some point. And then there will be another breakthrough and things will go. Now, one of the reasons for that is because they believe that the atom, we're now down to the point where we're working with memory and things for computer sciences that are down to atom size, micro technology. And that we can't go any further with that. That they're reaching the ends of physics with regard to some of that until there's another breakthrough, which could happen, could end up happening, which would, at the point this kind of levels off and things, technology kind of slows down for a little bit, then you've got this additional increase that, then we start the whole cycle over again and technology starts to increase again. What that will do to the human race, I have no idea. But we don't have to worry about it too much because AOC said that 12 years from now, the world's going to end. And that was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So I don't think we have to have anything to fear about that. Shouldn't be any problem at all. It's only about 6 more years. It's going to be done. So I'll be just after retirement for me. So it'll be good. I'll get one good year of retirement, and then the world's going to end. So get that to look forward to. So we have... But we're the fearmongers. We're the ones who, are the fearmongers. That's what they claim. They claim that, the Republicans just, they just have fear. That's all they're these conservatives. They just rule by fear. It's just, you should be afraid of the other party. No, well, you're saying things you're saying. Yeah. But you guys use the world's going to end. Oh, we're going to, the planet's, dying, blah, 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 blah. We're going to be underwater. I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think there was such a thing as a flood. Interesting stuff about this, the pre-Adamic stuff. I'd like to have my friend Jay on here sometime. And he's good about this, that kind of stuff. Maybe it'd be fun to ask him a bunch of questions. Got a bunch of questions for you. He likes to study that stuff, and I do too. But I don't remember any. I study stuff and I don't remember. Okay, I've been through 5 months of very intense other stuff going on in my life. So I had very little time to do some of the things I enjoy doing, which is studying and kind of digging into biblical stuff as well as just working on music projects. But I haven't had a chance to do any of that. And I'm trying to write a book too. Now that this stuff is behind me, I am digging into the book thing and starting to develop a discipline, sharing my time, spending my time on some things. I heard a story yesterday, last night actually, about this lady who, she has five kids. And her husband, she also was running a business. Her husband has a full-time job. She runs a little business, and it has to do, it's just a business for mothers, basically. It's kind of this thing where she kind of helps other mothers with things and the developing home, you know, efficiency type stuff. And she wanted to write a book. She's kind of always interested in writing a book, but she never would have the time. And then she actually developed this. She had some challenges. Some people challenged her to write a book and get it done in a month or whatever. And she started looking at how she became very deliberate about it and planned it all out and figured out, how can I spend the time to eke out the time to make this work? And she got her family involved in the process. And she did it. In 2 months, she wrote a book. Now, she already had a lot of the material already put together. She just had to get and basically what happened was she wrote the book, didn't like it and scrapped it and kind of started over again. And that, to me, that would be devastating and frustrating. I don't know if I could get through past that particular goal. Now, obviously she didn't just throw the whole thing out and start over from scratch, but she kind of had a working idea and knew how she could make it better before she, you know, published the thing. So it wasn't just all, the first attempt wasn't lost. It was just, you know, just a redo. I can do it better. Let's do it again. And probably, you know, did it in half the time, the second time. So there you go. That's kind of what's happening in the world today. And I just wanted to mention just this whole thing with DeSantis. And now, he might very well end up being the nominee. Who knows? And I'll probably be rooting for him, you know, come November of 2024. Who knows? Because the attacks will be high and hard, and there'll be, you know, you have no choice but to try to defend the guy. Because it's one of those things where but we'll see how it goes. Now, DeSantis was interviewed by Stossel. John Stossel recently, about two or three days ago, that he posted this. I think it was this last week that he got the interview. However, he hadn't announced yet. It was just becoming obvious that he was planning on it. The one, you know, aspect of this guy, he's a younger guy, which I think is appealing to some people. I just don't know how the field's going to play out here. I don't think that Joe Biden is going to be the nominee. I'm really starting to question that. I've been wrong about this guy. They've been holding him up as a puppet for a long time. But I think that all the reasons why he was pushed into the nominee position last time, I don't think they thought he was going to win. They pushed him into the position because he was a moderate. They thought he's got the best chance. Of course, then. By the way, I watched 2,000 Mules the other night. By the way. Anybody who watches that and who is not in the first 20 minutes, it kind of starts off kind of benign, just some interesting stuff. It's kind of emotionally charged with some music and some, you know, trying to get this, you know, vibe set at the beginning. But once you start getting into it and you start listening to what happened, and the evidence that they have. Mr. Phillips, who was part of the True the Vote thing, I need to find out what happened to him. I think he may be in jail right now. He is definitely a political martyr in this thing. However, what is amazing to me is how angry I was within 20 minutes. you just feel this anger kind of building up within you. This kind of there was so much deception, so much done wrong. When you start listing all the things that happened and you put it into a time capsule, kind of just the whole, just the facts of what happened on election night and during the whole election, the month leading up to the election night, all of the drop boxes, the mules, all the stuff that was going on with all that, but also just everything that happened that night and what happened. It just, the whole thing stinks. And they knew that this was the only way they were going to beat Trump. I think that it was a long shot for them. I don't think that I think that they overshot their goal. I think that the fact that they got this 83 million votes for Joe Biden, they realize how ridiculous that is, but they're, oh, look at this. Look how popular the guy is. The guy's not popular. And Trump got more votes than any sitting U.S. president before him. More votes than any sitting U.S. president in his second term, for a second term. He got more votes than any Republican president from the Latino, Black, any people of color. He increased the number of votes from those sectors. So just you start looking at all the numbers and it just does not make any sense whatsoever. And the problem with some of these, like with Carrie Lake's issue, she's saying, well, look at, you know, they cleared 1.2 million mail-in ballot signatures at the rate of about one every 1.5 seconds. If you look at the time that they spent clearing the signatures, the verifying signatures on these mail-in ballots, 1.5 seconds, they're just clicking buttons. Click it up, there it is. Click it up, there it is. Click it up, there it is. They're approving them as fast as they can. One guy did it from his home, and I think he did 24,000 ballots in 2 hours. I don't know. It was some ridiculous amount of time. And they're arguing. Of course, now you hear this stuff coming out in court. The problem is the judge says, well, it doesn't say how long. All it says is they have to go through all of them. It doesn't say how long they're supposed to take to verify the signature itself. You can't prove that they didn't that they aren't good. There's nothing in the statute that says that they have to spend 5 seconds or 10 seconds or 1 minute looking at the signature and comparing it. What is the standard by which you? This is the problem with this whole thing. So all he has to do is say, well, they verified them. They checked the box. The process was done. There's no definition of what the process is supposed to look like or how they're supposed to, how you're supposed to quantify that or qualify that. So she lost. I think that the evidence itself says those signatures weren't verified. They were just clicked through. Nobody looked at those. They were just clicking buttons. But you can't prove that. So obviously something was nefarious here, but at the same time, it's like chasing a ghost. You just can't, there's nothing there that they can put that they can wrap around to say, this is the smoking gun, this is what happened. But it becomes very obvious, just looking at it on its face, that this was a sham. We're talking about just a few thousand votes, she would have won. So out of 1.2 million, there's just some nefarious stuff going on there. There's just a lot of things that have been brought up during this, all of her court cases. They've got to change things. They've got to change some things in the legislation and the policy. But they just, if nothing else, this is going to shore up the elections in the future. Hopefully, they can change some rules. And the problem is the governor right now is Katie Hobbs. And of course, she's going to do everything she can to keep integrity, the actual integrity from the elections. It's all about, well, voters going to disenfranchise voters. No, we're disenfranchising people who are not voters. That's the problem. It's disenfranchising fake voters. That's what we're doing here. They don't care about voter integrity. They don't care about that at all. Election integrity. The only integrity they care about is whether they win or not. That's that. If they win, then it was a perfect election. If they don't, then it was fraud. That's as simple as it can be. Hillary Clinton lost in 2016. Oh, the Russians did it. We were hacked. The Russians hacked the election. There are people to this day that still believe that. And so then when they won in 2020, most perfect election ever we've ever had in the country. They have said that. They have verbally vocalized that. That was the cleanest election that this country has ever had. Cleanest, most secure election we've ever had. I guarantee you if they lose in 24, that's the Russians hacked us. Oh, those, this is a nefarious. Oh, this is blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, that's all we're going to hear for 4 years is that the president was illegitimate. That's all we're going to hear. It's the way they did. When Bush won in 2000, it was the same way. Al Gore, for 5 or 6 years, was going on about how I won the popular vote, but I didn't win the vote. The Supreme Court basically decided that one. Of course, they didn't want to take up anything because there weren't riots back then. There were riots now. We don't have riots again. Oh, so it's not about justice. It's not about the truth. It's not about doing what's right. It's about whether or not there's riots or not. So you're letting the mob win. That's what you're saying. So I digress. I do have some things to get done this morning. So I'm going to, one is I got to get my cup filled. I got to get some breakfast. I'm doing this without an empty stomach. It's growling at me. Again, like I said, tomorrow morning, probably going to be a show tomorrow morning. I don't know if it's going to be live or not. But as we press into the weekend, and into another month here, just very shortly. This is a Memorial Day weekend. I just want to thank all of those who have served, and especially remember those who gave everything. All gave some gave all, and just want to thank you for your service if you served in the military, any armed services of any kind, Coast Guard, Marines, whatever it is, Air Force, Navy, Army, whatever. We remember you, and this is the weekend we spend thinking about that, reflecting on that. God bless, folks. Pray for our nation. Pray for each other. Take care.